Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Episode 35.
Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, hosted by Mark Gray, slinging deals every day. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Pete.
Good, buddy. Justin Bigelow, the two-time champ. How you doing, Justin?
Fantabulous.
Fantabulous today. And myself, Pete Peterson, folks, we don't always talk real estate. We love to share success stories from other entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and influencers. And hopefully these interviews and stories will inspire you and motivate you, the listeners, to dream huge. And we have a very special guest today. We are talking real estate today. I'm super excited for this one. My good friend, Mr. Larry Merwine, founder and CEO of Synergy Property. How are you doing, Larry?
Great. Glad to be here.
Yes. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking the time. Super busy guy right here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Synergy Properties.
Well, we buy properties. We rent them. We also sell them through our rent-to-own program. We've helped people become homeowners here in the area. And we are always looking for deals and looking for good opportunity.
If I had a dollar for every time someone asked me, hey, do you have any houses for rent? I mean, I would be a rich man. There's definitely a need in the market for houses for rent, right? I get asked that all the time. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of houses for rent, or very few, so I often send them over to Synergy Properties.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
And not only do you have houses for rent, like you said, you have a great rent-to-own program.
Correct.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your rent-to-own program?
Well, the rent-to-own program started back when I actually started the company. That was my second deal. I found somebody that wanted to do a rent-to-own, but they could not qualify for a regular mortgage. So I bought the property and flipped it over to them, and they took care of all the maintenance, repaired the property. Today, our program is a little bit different. We make sure the roof is good, the furnace is good, water heater is good. And so that way a tenant buyer can actually move into the property, remodel it the way they want to, and they're not spending the money on the mechanicals or the expensive things. So in the rent-to-own program, we actually do qualify them just like a tenant. We'll run credit, we'll do a background check. Once we screen them and they're approved, then they are opened up to any of our rent-to-own programs. We do require a down payment, just like a bank. We want them to have skin in the game, be responsible. So we try to get about 3 or 4% down, sometimes 5%, depending on the property and the value. We set a selling price, and we give them approximately 36 to 42 months to get a bank loan and cash us out. While they're making their payments on time, they're getting rental credits towards the purchase price. And if they miss their payment, then they get no the credit, and they also can get a late fee. But that's the whole idea about paying on time, because once they get financed, they're going to have to pay their mortgage on time.
Sure. You're educating them as well, training them, setting them up for success.
Exactly. We had 13 people last year cash us out and become a homeowner.
Man, excellent.
Wow. Nice. That's a good success for the local people.
Yeah, it is. We're at 13 right now this year, and it's just November 2nd. So I'm hoping to do a few more before the end of the year and have a better year this year than last year.
Now, how does that look you mentioned either a 3 or 4 year term roughly. So what if they don't get things situated by then? Are we looking at an extension, or does it vary on depending on the situation, or how does that look?
In most cases, we're not doing any extensions because we're giving them 36 to 42 months to get bank financing.
Sure.
This year, we've recently stepped up and tried to help them get financing with a couple of the local lenders. And so it's been eye-opening for me, because people are coming up on their 36th month or their 42nd month, and they haven't even worked on getting their credit straightened out.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Or they haven't even worked on staying at the same job or any of the things that they're supposed to do. So we've been more active this year in trying to get them financing, and that's why it's been a little bit more successful this year.
Love it. Educating them from the start. Getting them started with, hey, this is how you need to get your finances in order. This is what you can do to improve your credit. Well, like you said, you're not even having to do that. The lenders are doing that for you.
Correct.
And you're building that relationship up front so you can get them towards that finish line sooner. Because you'd be happy if they cash you out in year one.
Right.
That solves a problem for you and them.
With this housing market the way it is, I've had some people lock in a house that we've had under the rent to own and get financing within 3 or 4 months. So that way they're in the program, they have the house locked down, we're not gonna sell it to somebody else.
Right.
And some people have already been working on getting their credit and having their credit improved. So we've had people come right out of our rent to own program within 3 or 4 months and get financing.
Wow.
And we have these lenders in town that know our program, and when they go to the lender, they already know how our program works.
Sure.
And but so it makes it easier.
Is there a minimum time they need to hold the property for?
No.
Okay.
No.
There's no prepayment penalty or anything? Because you have cost invested in that. I mean, you had to rehab the house and, you know, your turnover costs and everything, but there's no minimum on that for them.
No, the only thing that they're requiring is that we show a copy of the money orders that the person brought in for their down payment, so that they can show that it came out of their checking account and that they paid us directly and that there's, you know, no other things going on as far as us trying to help them with the down payment.
Gotcha.
And that down payment that we collect becomes part of their down payment with the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So many times they haven't had to save a whole lot more when they go get their financing.
So you mentioned money order. You know, with my experience, they, you know, generally want personal checks, cashier's checks to track the funds. You've never had an issue with the money order?
No.
No?
No, the lenders ask us for the copies of the money orders,
mm-hmm,
that match up with the down payment on the contract.
Okay.
The rent-to-own or lease-purchase option contract. And that's proof enough.
Because your money order still has a number on it. It's still trackable.
Right, right, right.
Has a date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just can't accept good old cash money anymore.
No.
No.
And is it always money order?
Cash money anymore.
Or do you get cashier's checks, personal checks?
We'll take cashier's checks, money orders, and that's it initially.
Yeah.
Now, once we sign all the agreements and they want to make their monthly payment, they can, mm-hmm, make their monthly payment online.
Yep.
With a credit card, things like that.
But nice. So they're paying with a credit card.
Yeah, they can pay with a credit card.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
SynergyPropertiesOhio.com. They can pay rent right on there, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm an avid credit card user, you know, being smart with it. If you can use a credit card, you can't pay your mortgage with a credit card. So you can go through this program. You're buying the mortgage, the future mortgage, with a credit card.
That's a great point.
Build your credit up. Let's say your credit's not quite there, but you have a $10,000 credit limit.
Mm-hmm.
You could, in theory, finance a mortgage that's not yet there, finance your rent with a credit card.
Yeah.
Pay it off every month. Build the points. Now you're getting, if you have a cash back credit card, if you don't, get one. That's 1%. If
right.
The rent's, what, I don't know, $800? You're making $8 a month by using your credit card and paying you. And it goes towards all the other things with the equity and, wow.
And
if I could pay my mortgage with a credit card, I'd be doing it every month.
And improving your credit as well.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
And speaking of credit, do you have a minimum credit score or a range you look for? Or?
Well, when the credit report comes back, we look at if they have garnishments or if they have a lot of late pays. So we look at more than just the credit score. So we don't have a minimum credit score.
That's good.
So we ran one a few weeks ago, and the person just came out of bankruptcy a year ago. And so I'm sorry, 2 years ago. So I called one of the lenders and asked them how soon they could get them financed, and they said about one more year.
Okay.
Their credit score was in the high 500s.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, with them paying on time for 12 months with their other debts, They probably will get a credit score up over 600, maybe 620, and they'll be out of that bankruptcy for 3 years, and they'll be able to get financing.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So we do rely heavily, obviously, on that credit report.
Mm-hmm. That always reveals the, you know, this is a general buyer buying, you're in a rough spot, and this is a good option for you. You need to go check your credit score. Go to the lender. Go to your favorite lender. Run their credit score, because you're probably going to find secrets that you didn't even know about. Sure. And those are the things that you're going to see, you know, Larry might find, and we don't want it to be a shocker. We want to make sure this is resolved. So if you're thinking about buying a house, the first thing you should go do is get your credit score checked, the credit checked, the whole thing, because you might find some problems mm-hmm. that you didn't think that were going to be a problem. And that's what puts you behind a year.
There are some lenders that have programs where you can boost your score by 20 points.
Okay.
So that's something else that you ought to look into.
Yep.
Is just boosting your score. And then the other thing we look at is we look at job time. We look at how long they've lived at their previous residence. Let's say that they do qualify for one of our rentals, but they just don't qualify for the rent-to-own program. We can rent the house to them with the option to get into a rent-to-own contract, possibly in 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they can still live in the house. They can still get used to it. They can still check it out, see if they really want to buy it. And 12 months down the road, if they qualify, or we have a lot of people at tax time who get their taxes and they have the down payment automatically.
Right.
They don't have to save for the down payment. At tax time, they get a chunk of money. And there's their down payment. So we can also do something like that.
Yeah, it's like a tiered level system towards home ownership. Yeah.
Correct.
You can start at regular rent, mm-hmm. and you know, with a good owner like yourself, develops the program to go to the next stage, rent to own, build your credit. Now you can, boom, it's yours now.
When we make that conversion to rent to own, if they've been renting from us, they have to have 6 months consecutive on-time payments.
Yes.
So we're also looking at that. We're not just promising it to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. You got to qualify.
It's interview process.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Love it.
It's just the thing. It's like the opportunity is there.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't even know. They're always looking for rentals, You know, whatever. Not too many rentals I know have a program to get to home ownership.
Oh, that's a great thing.
Most of the time, the renters might be thinking, I'm just a renter. I'm going to pay my guy's mortgage down. He's not going to help me.
Right.
No, this is not the case.
And there's such a need in the marketplace for this, too, because so many folks are out there that they have borderline credit. They may have a bad medical bill history. They may be going through a divorce. They may just have had misfortunes of any type, but they have cash.
Right.
And they have cash for a down payment, and they have borderline credit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, conventional mortgage lenders and banks won't touch them.
Right.
But there's a lot of folks out there in that same exact situation, and there's mortgage lenders and banks on every corner. But how many rent-to-own businesses are there in this town?
Not very few at all.
Very few. So I think Larry's done a great job of filling a need in the marketplace for that and just trying to create success amongst these future homeowners.
Just building up the community.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, we call those buyers penalty box buyers. The buyers that have a 1099, like you said, Pete, they have a great income. They've got a good job. But for whatever reason, they can't show their net income, and the banks are a little bit iffy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to put them in a rent-to-own program, and eventually they get financing as well because the banks know that they are buying the house from us.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, I got a question. Maybe you don't even offer it, but would you do something similar to this for investors?
No.
Sublet. Like, you know, because I'm 1099, you know, I tried to do a refi last year.
Buy a house with little money down. We're always looking to do that. Buy properties with little cash
down. I just couldn't get the
loan.
You know, I was one of those.
Let me reference that with the fact is that we tried that before, and it didn't quite work out that well if it's a new investor.
Yes.
But with a seasoned investor, we have done a few of those, and they've been successful. So it's really going to have to be a seasoned investor for us.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. You got to qualify. You got to have a minimum term of experience.
I've had some issues with people who just have never managed a property before, and now they're in a rent-to-own program, and they're subletting that house, and the person's not paying.
Yeah.
And instead of them doing the right thing and giving them a three-day notice and going to a lawyer and taking him to eviction court, they've been, you know, a little bit more aggressive and tried to get them out and not even go through the court system. So
creates a mess.
Yeah.
Creates too much chaos.
Mm-hmm. Too much chaos. But if we have a seasoned investor that knows what they're doing, give us a call.
Okay.
Excellent. Great point. All right, Larry. Well, that is a little bit about your business there. Would you mind elaborating and tell us how, tell us about your journey to become Synergy Properties and where you are today? How'd you get started in real estate?
Well, I was had a regular job, and I decided that I wanted to buy a couple properties just to supplement my retirement. And I had a friend that was in the business, and I started picking his brain. And he also was a contractor, and I decided to jump in and buy my first property. And I walked into this property, and the floors were crooked, and the foundation felt bad.
Oh, no.
And it was a house that was built in the 1800s,
wow.
And it scared me to death.
Yeah.
And I took this contractor through, and he said, you know, it's just, it's solid. It's settled, and it's fine. It's not going to go anywhere. So I ended up buying it, scared to death, cleaned it up a little bit, and flipped it. And I thought, man, this is great. This is really easy. Instead of buying and hold, I could just flip them. But I really didn't have time to do that. And I'm not handy. I can't work on my own properties.
Yeah.
And nor do I even want to. But so I took that money that I made, and I bought two more properties. And this friend of mine found a tenant buyer, and I did my first rent to own. And then I thought that was pretty easy because I was collecting monthly payment and I wasn't doing any of the work. I thought, but I really should get into rentals if I want to supplement my retirement. And so I started buying a few rentals. I bought my first property in 2006. And as you know, in 2007, 2008, property prices kept falling.
Yeah.
And I kept buying. I was borrowing everything I could to buy as much as I could.
Wow.
Because I really felt like the properties or values are going to keep falling, but it didn't matter because I was collecting rent.
Right.
It's perfect timing.
That's the nice thing about real estate is even with prices falling, it's kicking off cash every month if you have it rented. And then I just never really stopped. I really enjoyed it, and I kept buying, and I eventually quit my full-time job in 2009 and went full-time in real estate.
Nice.
And
excellent.
Never looked back. And I've continued to build it. And so we have 700 units now. And
wow.
And we have a few people in the office that help me. And we have a couple of crews that go around and rehab the properties and clean them up. And my wife is the project manager. And we've just grown every year since we've been in business.
So of those 700, how many of those are rent to own currently? And how many of those are standard month-to-month rentals?
Well, I have 70 rent-to-owns right now.
Wow.
And then those are all single-family houses. And of the 700, about 550 are single houses. The rest are multifamily.
Excellent.
I love single-family because the people take care of their own yard. They take care of their own trash. They mow.
Yes.
They clear the snow. There's not as many complaints because they're not living on top of each other or next to each other.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Less drama.
Therefore, there's a slight premium on your rent.
So, right. And per unit, the house is rent for more than an apartment.
Yeah.
So I think the cash flow is better. But when I started, I read a lot of books, and I read one book written by a lawyer who was a real estate investor, and he said you should have 4-unit buildings. So if one becomes empty,
yeah,
then you still have cash coming in. But I thought, if I have 4 houses
and
one's empty, what's the difference? And I'm making more mm-hmm. per month on
right.
each house.
I thought the same thing. You know, yeah. I've heard it from, you know, other people too. You know, multifamily, large multifamily, because if the vacancy is, if it's 30 units, the people will move out, it's only 10%. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're right, it is all good. But that's probably going to cost me more up front. It depends on kind of where you're at. It's still 30 units. What's it matter where they're at?
Right. And
just because the roof is not covering all of it.
Yeah, that's the other argument. You've got one roof to fix. But then you've got to hire a commercial contractor, and it's really expensive.
Different code and right. all types of stuff.
Good yeah. point.
I just put a parking lot in at a multifamily, and it was outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to charge you more because they think you have money, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. A single car driveway or something as right. opposed to that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. Yeah. And, yeah, guys, there's no right or wrong way to do it. You know, we have investors of all types on here. I think everybody kind of finds their niche and goes. And if you find your niche and go all in like Larry has, I mean, you're going to have great success. I think that's a thing we see. You know, don't get too scattered. Find your niche, what works for you, why it makes sense for you, and go all in. And Larry's got 700 units to show and many happy families along the way who he's helped to go into a rent-to-own program as well. So
and I'd say
that's success upon success right there.
I would say it evolves. You know, if you're the investor, it evolves over time. Yeah, you start single family and this, you know, the game of Monopoly. You can play that or you can stick to single family homes and just do that.
Right.
But it will evolve as you start to learn things.
Yeah.
So just because you're stuck on this doesn't mean you won't ever do this other thing. So
yeah, that's a good point. I think you find your niche. I mean, there's some people that swear by multifamily, but you just have to get started and you just have to do it and solve the problems as you go and figure things out as you go.
Right.
Rely on people that will help you. The other source that I use to help me besides reading books, I went to the local RIA club and I talked to seasoned landlords and I told them the issues that I was having and they told me how to handle things and it was a great resource.
It's free answers to your most important problems.
Shout out to Gary Cassidy. He runs our local RIA club, Real Estate Investors Association.
Yep.
So yeah, follow that, search that up and it's a great, great resource as well.
Also, in the RIA clubs, you'll find deals. There may be some investors that are ready to sell some of those properties.
Yes. Yeah, I just went to the one last week, and there was a new agent. She got her first wholesale deal in her contract, so you know she's just marketing it to the group.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you can market what your properties that you have. You might find some seasoned investors that will actually finance the deal for you.
Right.
That was something that came out of the RIA club for me after going and for several years. It's they may not just take you under their wing right away, but I have one investor who I was in that club with, and they decided they wanted to retire, and they financed up to 20 units for me.
Excellent. Wow, that's awesome.
And
like owner finance?
It's a mortgage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we went to the closing.
Right,
Yeah, we have a promissory note and a mortgage,
yep.
and it's recorded at the courthouse, and I pay them every month, and they go do what they want.
Yeah.
He and his wife go to Florida. They go to Texas. They travel. They're enjoying their life, and we're taking care of the headaches.
Sure, you're getting that monthly check.
It's like an annuity.
Yes, right, and that's what we preach when we're trying to find seller finance deals. I try and tell them, hey, would you rather be the bank or the landlord?
Right.
I'm trying to set you up to be the bank. I'm taking all those worries and problems and headaches off your hands, and you still get that monthly check, and you get to defer your tax, your capital gains as well, or spread them out at least.
Yeah.
And they still get that same monthly check.
It's just like winning the lottery. If you're smart, you never take it all up front. Take it in nice, even, steady payments.
No, I want it all up front.
Okay, well, you can get taxed 50%.
I can make more now than spreading it out over time.
Oh, no, we're trying to teach a lesson here.
Oh, I want it all up front.
If you win the lottery, get an annuity for tax reasons, unless you like paying the government.
I want it all up front because I can invest all that chunk now. I can make more than the annuities in the long run. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
But Justin's right.
Yeah.
Monthly payments for some people are what they want, especially in retirement.
Yeah, right.
So many tax benefits.
For
me, it's like if I'm paying taxes, before I ever pay the government, let me give it to the community.
Yep.
Charity, tax write-off.
Right.
What's the purpose of paying taxes? To help the community, supposedly.
Right. To support your government.
Well, I'm going
to
do that.
You support your government when you pay taxes.
And when the government's supposed to help the people. How about I just help them directly?
I like it. And it's a write-off.
Right.
Take matters in your own hands.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like keeping money here in the local community.
Exactly.
Exactly. Sure. Instead of sending it off to the federal government, who knows where it goes.
Spend 30 grand
in the
federal government. Where does it go?
That's a great point.
Who knows?
All right. I wanted to touch on this real quick, too. Buying properties, amassing 700 units. What's your common method for buying properties? On market, off market? If off market, how do you approach that? Just curious.
Well, when I first started and prices kept falling and there were a lot of foreclosures, I had as many properties or deals as I could choose from. There weren't a lot of people out buying when the market was falling. People were running scared.
Yeah.
And I was running straight in, buying as much as I could. But once those bank foreclosures started cooling down and there was less and less, then I had to come up with a marketing plan. And at that point, my primary marketing plan was postcards. I mailed a lot of postcards out, mostly to burnout landlords.
Yes.
And it was just what we've been talking about. I would talk to landlords about financing the properties for me. And so I had several of them finance properties for me, and I'm, you know, paying them every month right now.
Right.
Today. But a lot of them did want to cash out, and so I did that too. But we mailed a lot of postcards out. We had a lead system. Calls would come in. I had people trained on a lead list to ask the questions, to give me the answers I was looking for, to see if they were really motivated or if they were just checking to see what we would give them for their property. But it's the same sales cycle that if you're, no matter what you're selling,
mm-hmm.
you know, you 10 calls come in, 3 are pretty good leads, and you get 1 sale or purchase out of that one, out of those 10. As our name got out there, I would see people at different places, and they would say, "Hey, I got your postcard. I got your postcard." So we really saturated the area with that program.
My dad got a couple.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
They work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. So we have not been sending out postcards now for approximately 1 year, but I'm still getting leads from that, plus some social media, plus our office location. There's just a lot of traffic that goes by there. Yeah. And I've had people call and say, "I just drove by your office and thought maybe you might want to buy this property."
And amazing.
Comes from years of you're investing in your marketing. You built your brand, mm-hmm. And now you don't have to spend quite as much. Now they're coming to you.
Correct.
Instead of you having to go to them. Yeah.
Consistency.
The perks of experience.
Yeah.
Experience. It's the fruits of your labor.
Investing in yourself, building the brand, and they know, and now they're coming to you. I love that.
To me, that's the, you know, for me as an agent and everything, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to know my name, top of mind, and they just call me. Just call me.
Right.
I'll call you, but I'd rather you call me. If you call me, that means you want me. Not that I don't want you if I'm calling you, but I really want you to call me because that shows that you want me and I like to feel wanted.
Right. But that don't come for free.
No, and the more I'm wanted, the more harder I'll work for you.
I love it. And that don't come for free. Think about all the money you've invested in marketing.
Yes.
And all the hard work you've put in to get to that point.
Yep.
You know, that takes a lot.
It shows appreciation. It shows gratitude. It just shows so many things that you might not be thinking about as the caller.
Yep.
I 100% appreciate it.
Yep.
So, and that's just, you know, experience, hard work, staying in it, yep. Always be buying.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that, listeners? Justin Bigelow appreciates you.
100%.
If you call him, that is.
No. Don't say that. I appreciate you, everybody.
He wants you to call him.
I got to start calling first. That's how I got here. I had to call people first. I still do.
If I call you, will you feel good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is interesting.
You got to buy something, though.
Please. Okay. All right. I got to buy something. Okay. That's great stuff. So, Larry, you have an amazing story so far. How do you hope to inspire others with your story?
Well, one thing I would like to say is a lot of people, they live in their city and they feel like their city doesn't give them what they're looking for, as far as they think their city is just run down or it's not a great place to live. But my message is that in this city that I've been living almost my whole life, there's prosperity here. There's opportunity. But you have to make your own opportunity. You have to figure out what you really want to do, figure out how to make a living from that, and the opportunity is here. You don't have to move to another area. So you can...
Yeah, but the grass is always greener, Larry. It's always greener over there, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then people move to that greener grass and they find out that it's the same because they're the same.
Same old problems.
You have to change if you want your life to change.
Right.
And you can change it right here.
Yep.
It's just a feel-good type thing. You know, just because I'm going to have this one food, drink, buy this house, and it'll make me feel better. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's had to do with you.
Yeah.
You think it's going to. You do it. Hopefully you learn that that was not the case. And the thing didn't make you better. You got to make yourself better.
That's it.
Correct. And this podcast that you have, I've listened to other episodes, and it's evidence of what I'm saying is true.
Yeah.
There's people out there, and they're blooming where they're planted, and they're continuing to be successful. So if other people can do it, anybody listening can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice, Larry.
And I feel like I get something out of every podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And those, I definitely do. And those, you're right, Larry. Those opportunities are right in front of your face oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And you just have to take action and be disciplined.
Open the mind.
And find a niche and provide value. Provide value in more than the fee that you charge. And Larry does a great job of that, providing value to his clients.
Yep. I mean, it's just an basic economics of value.
Yep.
No one's going to pay for something if they think it's worth less.
Right.
So when you're providing a service, the person that's buying your service sees a greater return on that service that you're providing them. So you can always provide the value. And if you exceed their level of expectation, they will return.
And not only will they return, they'll tell their friends.
They'll tell their friends, and they'll tell their 10 friends.
That's right.
Next thing you know, it's a giant compound interest of business.
Correct. The compound effect.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
That's the most powerful force in the universe is mm-hmm. compound interest.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The eighth wonder of the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we can compound our talents,
mm-hmm.
and we can leverage other people's talents to help us, and if you help them get what they want, you will also get what you want.
Right. I was, as you were speaking, right. I remember from another book I've been reading, Who Not How. It's talking about hiring people and essentially cost versus investment. You got to switch the mind. Mm-hmm. Don't look at it as a cost. Oh, this is a cost. It's not going to help me. Look at it as an investment. That's essentially being on the positive side of the thinking. You know, if I'm trying to hire an assistant, I don't want to think, oh, I got to pay her this much money. I got to think of it as if I hired the right person, I'm investing in her. She will, if it was hired right, will bring value back to me. And that's because I'm thinking investment.
Sure. And think about this. You created a job in your community.
And it starts with you.
What's better than that? Creating jobs.
Yes. I mean, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with you. You got to believe that if I'm putting money, I'm investing. Don't look at it as a cost. You're investing in yourself. That's good. It's positive. Keep doing it because mm-hmm. it will pay off. The compound effect. But it starts with you, ground level.
Yeah, the best investment you make is the investment in yourself.
Exactly.
And you hire somebody to help you do the things that you don't have time to do so that you can do other things that are more profitable.
Right.
And they're doing things that they like doing.
Exactly.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yep. Sure. They're empowered. They're doing well as well. Love it. Okay, so Larry, you wanted to touch on. I wanted to have you touch on a local charity that you're working with, and what you have an awesome project going on with this. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, there's a charity here in town. It's called Ruby's Women's Group, and it is a charity that's a outreach that is helping young women out of sex trafficking. There's an addiction and. There is a growing problem across the U.S. We've all heard about sex trafficking, but we have that issue here in town and in Richland County. So this group is, they take women in, they help them with a job, they teach them skills, they put them to work, and they've been very successful. And right now, they're entrepreneurs also. They have a catering company. So these women start to feel better about themselves because they're learning a trade, they're learning a skill, and they're contributing, and they're taken off the streets. And so it's a great charity that my wife and I are involved in. And the director, her name is Candace Watson. And if you'd like more information, you could give her a call. Her phone number is 419-612-6399. They are always looking for help. They're looking for contributions. They're looking for people who want to contribute as far as household needs. I just bought a property and there was a lot of stuff left behind, and we let them go through that property and pick out what they wanted. And they were excited because they found a couple of mirrors. It was all these women living in a house and they only had one mirror.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're just so appreciative and excited. And it was like, you know, Christmas time for them because they just don't have anything. But there are also hiring opportunities. So they're looking for any kind of help that they can get.
And this is crazy, and I didn't even realize this was a problem, and you had mentioned some numbers. There's literally hundreds of girls in the area being sex trafficked as we speak.
There's approximately 200 or more. Smaller town like this, that's a pretty big need.
Wow. What's the full name again? Ruby's Women's Group. Do they have a website as well?
Ruby'sOutreach31.com.
Okay, so anything else you'd like to touch on, Larry? Before we move on to the huge four, we're going to hit you with the huge four.
Okay.
And then you're super busy guy, so we'll let you get going on your way. But anything else you'd like to touch on?
No, I guess that's it. I'm glad to be here, though.
Yeah. No, we appreciate it.
Appreciate the invite.
Yeah. Lots of great stuff today. All right. Ooh, yeah. It's time for the Macho Man to come out for the huge four. Mark, hit him with the huge four.
All right. What's one thing you wish you've known when you began your career?
I think to leverage more networking with people. I think that would have been the best thing to do. I'm more of a lone wolf, so I try to do a lot on my own. But I think that it's important to have a large group of people. You know, your network is your net worth. And it also makes things a lot easier. And to find a mentor, you know, a solid mentor that can also help you, or a center of influence that can introduce you to people that can help you.
Yeah, and you kind of introduced me to a group called Strategic Coach.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about Strategic Coach and how that's helped.
That is a coaching program that I joined a year ago. I fly out to Chicago once a quarter, meet with other entrepreneurs. We talk about issues and problems that we have, and we actually solve each other's problems. We get into think groups, small think groups. And there's people there that are... they own pest control business, commercial cleaning company, metal roofing company. There's lawyers in there. There's doctors in there. And they're just from all different fields. There's a lot of brokers in there, real estate brokers. So it's just a really good time to get away. And we go out to dinner on Wednesday. We spend all day Thursday in a group setting, and then we go out that night for dinner. But we're really all there to help each other and give each other ideas.
Love it. Yeah.
Strategic Coach, is that from the Who Not How book?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dan Sullivan started the Strategic Coach.
I got like a few hours left on the Audible book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dan Sullivan is like the mastermind behind Who Not How.
Right. And his wife Babs, they started the company.
They're from Cleveland. The Cleveland area.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember him saying he grew up down in or right around the Cleveland area when he first started doing stuff. So, you know, when I heard he's from Ohio, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, the author of that book, Ben Hardy, is Dan's who.
Yep.
So Dan said, I don't want any proceeds from the book, but I want to do this book together. I'm going to collaborate. And I just want the word to get out so we can get more members of Strategic Coach. And Ben Hardy was able to get all the profits from the book.
Right.
And they've done a few books.
Yeah, and wow. He's a doctor. He's like a kind of like a psychologist. He's got another book.
Correct.
I forget the name of it, but it came out a few years ago. I started. Oh, Willpower Doesn't Work.
Oh, yeah.
Willpower Doesn't Work. That's his first one that I think he said he did.
Yeah, Ben.
And that's where I got it. When I heard his name, and on top of, you know, being referred to that book, I'm like, oh, I got to read this because I've read him before. I knew I was getting into something good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have a great website for members. There's tons of resources. There's tons of things that you can use in your business. And they send out free books every once in a while.
Okay.
I just received Joe Polish's new book that just came out in November. I received it last week. Joe Polish is also a friend of Dan Sullivan's Genius Network.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's some really good material and really good tools in there for entrepreneurs. And it's open to all entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And this is the rabbit hole you dive into.
Yeah.
Stuff like this.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it all goes back again. It all goes back to, you know, relationships and networking.
Right.
And is what you're saying.
Right. And it makes you think bigger. Because yeah. That's what this group is all about, is thinking bigger. And you get outside of your, you know, your normal day-to-day, and you get outside of your area where you live and people around you, and you get with people who are doing amazing things.
Yeah. Love it.
And that becomes the norm.
Yeah. Very important. That's what I need to do more of. I do too much paperwork and not enough of that.
Right.
Right.
The only paperwork you should be doing is signing closing papers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't mind doing that. We'll do as much of that as we want.
Exactly.
Yeah. You need a who.
A who to sign the closing papers, right?
That's the whole mentality of that book is who's going to help me solve my problem.
Right. Because the bigger we can all grow, the more jobs you can provide, the more you can give back, the more philanthropy you can do. There's no shortage of success.
It's all positive, too.
It's all positive. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
What was your biggest failure? What did you learn from it?
My biggest failure, I believe, is not having the balance in my life when I was trying to build the company. So I was always working, and I was always trying to grow more as, you know, as a person, but also grow the business. And I wish I would have had more balance in my life for the important things, like my spiritual life, my kids. So that would be, if I could turn back the clock, I would have more balance and spend more time with my family, make them more of a priority.
Yeah. That business growth came, but not without sacrifice, it sounds like.
Correct.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about growing, getting, you know, being successful. Still got to think about the little things and about you and the personal level.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes it truly harder. But if you can tame yourself, get that under control, now that is a support system. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't become a failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, but sometimes you overlook it. I get it.
Yep. Take things for granted.
So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just do your best. That's all. Just do your best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you knew better, you would do better.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice.
If I knew what I knew now.
It's always hindsight.
But that's wisdom. Mm-hmm. That through that comes wisdom. And then you can help other people.
What are the best resources that have helped you along the way?
The best resources would be people. As far as when I started this business, I borrowed money from my mom to get started.
Nice.
And I had a few other friends that helped me. And then as, you know, you grow, I brought more people in to help me. And so, again, it's about leveraging people's talents so that to help you grow. But they also grow as well. So that would be the greatest resource.
Yeah, I just learned in, going back to this book, I just learned so much from Who Not How. I just listened to it today, and it said, don't ever go into a situation thinking, what am I going to get out of it? Always think about, what is the other person going to get out of it by helping me? And so, like you said, it makes the other people grow. So if you thought of it that way, you'd be like, they're trying to grow too. What, you know, what is it? Mm-hmm. And they would probably be honored if you asked them, because not too many people is going to be like, what are you trying, you know, how is this going to help you?
Right.
Because you might be thinking, oh, he's just helping me, I'm going to get him. You know, that's not the way to think about it. They're trying to help you, because if they're going to help you, they're really trying to help themselves.
Yeah, the book I just got from Joe Polish, it's called What's in It for Them?
Right, yeah.
What's in It for Them?
Yep. Perfect. That was my whole point.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all so used to saying, what's in it for me?
Right.
So used to saying that.
Yeah, you got to switch it.
You got to
reverse it. That's the selfish mindset.
Yeah.
As much as it's all the balance. When do I be selfish? When am I not? Mm-hmm. You figure it out.
Yeah.
It's the old Zig Ziglar saying, help enough people get what they want and you'll get what you want.
Exactly.
That's right. Old Zig.
All right. What are two books that inspired you?
Two books that inspired me.
Besides the ones we've just talked about. Right.
Besides the Bible.
The Bible counts.
Which has a lot of great stories.
Absolutely.
And a lot of great parables.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good direction. The business book that I read years ago that changed my life was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People with Stephen Covey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that book is still a bestseller today. So that was a great book for me. We actually had a study group. So there was like 8 of us that dug into that book.
Nice.
And we got together every week and we shared with each other what we learned from that book.
Mm-hmm.
And it really opened it up. But The 7 Habits, it talked about what is important, what's urgent, you know, what is something that's pressing, and it's how time management helps you with your time management.
Mm-hmm.
But you can apply it to many different things. And then the second book is The Road Less Stupid.
Hmm.
And okay. That's a great business book, Keith Cunningham. And it's just full of nuggets. And so that is another great book.
I feel like I heard that somewhere, but I never looked into it.
Yeah.
They're going on my list.
I went through it once. I just listened to it on Audible, and now I'm going through it again, and I'm picking up so much more.
Hmm.
So I definitely would recommend that book. And Keith Cunningham's really smart. He's a business strategist.
Excellent stuff. All right, Mr. Larry Merwine, appreciate you joining us today. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much. Great information there.
Thank you.
Again, you can reach Larry online. His website is synergypropertiesohio.com. That's synergypropertiesohio.com. And that's Larry Merwine, CEO of Synergy Property Solutions, Inc., right here in Mansfield, Ohio. Lots of great stuff, Larry. Anything we missed? Any last things we need to touch on?
Our Facebook is Synergy Properties, Inc. That's another great way to reach me. Just message me through there, and I will answer you. Or on my Facebook, Larry Merwine Facebook.
Excellent. A man of the people. He's right there, reachable.
That's right.
Love it. That's customer service right there, folks. Yep. You don't see that too often.
Authentic.
Yes. Love it. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast with Mark Gray, Justin Bigelow, and myself, Pete Peterson. Please remember to review, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules. Work hard, never give up, and dream huge.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty. And on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.